You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit realchicago.com.
Heavenly Father, there's still so much going on inside of our city, inside of our nation, inside of our world. God, we are wrestling with the COVID situation where many people just want to pretend that it's not here, that's really not going on. And God, that is so much like sin. We want to pretend like we don't have sin. We want to pretend like we don't have problems. And we just want to continue through life. And you, God, want to bring things and expose it and to show it, and you want to change it. God, we know that you want to take us to the mountaintop and show us how huge and how large you are. We know, God, that you want us to experience life in the valley and community and friendship and relationship. We know, God, that you want to take us into cave opportunities, and you want to do deep heart surgery, and you want us to be forever changed. God, I pray that as we go through this COVID situation, we would be doing some deep heart surgeries and we would be forever changed. God, that the selfishness that pervades our nation of people, and I understand that there's different personalities, but God, the idea of being able to protect other people, I pray that we would have that heart, that we would have the heart to care for other people, that you said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. God, I pray that we would have the hearts that we would love our neighbors and what that would look like. And God, that also with our nation and God, systemic racism and prejudice and anger and pain and power and violence and abuse of humans towards each other. Mighty God, we need your help. God, all of those things I just described are inside of the church. They're inside of what should be a holy and religious set apart organization and group and community. And God, sadly, all those things are inside of it. And so Jesus, just as much as you came into the temple and you threw over tables and you got upset that your house was being something that it wasn't supposed to be, God, I pray that you come into the institution of the church and you flip tables. God, I pray you come into the institution of our hearts as Christians and you flip tables. I pray, mighty God, that you teach us. You thought it was taught this way. Let me teach you what it really is. That, mighty God, you would open our eyes and that we would be forever changed. Holy Spirit, we need your power. We can't rely on our human intellect, and we cannot rely on our human flesh. We have to rely on you, Holy Spirit. You are the true power for change. And so, God, as we learn today, would you please bless us with your Spirit? Would you push away all distractions, all fear, all insecurity, all frustration, all the things that can keep us from hearing what it is that you want us to hear? That, God, in this sweet moment, we could connect to you, and God, that our lives would be forever changed. It's your name, God, we pray. Amen. Around 2000, my life completely changed. I had become married. I had a first child. I had a new job. I was working as a pastor full time. I was reading more scripture than I was ever reading. I was praying more than I had ever prayed, and it just wasn't enough. Everything that I had been taught to do, everything that I had been trained to do, the way to do all the steps, to do the devotionals, to do all these things, it wasn't bringing to me the joy that I needed inside of my soul. In fact, I felt incredibly empty. It was in this moment that God Almighty showed up, peeled back the heavens, and introduced me to his Holy Spirit. That he showed me that my cessationist beliefs, believing that the Holy Spirit was no longer working, believing that because we had doctors, because we had nurses, because we had surgery, we didn't need people to be healed. You could just take them to the hospital, they could take a pill, or they could have a human work on them, and that was what needed to happen. That I didn't need to pray to God to ask him to do anything big. That if I just did what I was supposed to do, if I just used my intellect, if I just used my training, if I just did the steps that I was supposed to do, I would be a good Christian, and God would be honored, he would be happy, and everything would be good. And then everything changed. In a moment, my life was flipped, and everything was moved to a point that all the things that I had been taught wouldn't solve the situation I was dealing with. That all the ways that I had prayed before wouldn't solve the situation that I was dealing with. In other words, God brought me to a place that I had to realize what I had wasn't enough. And I needed something else that wasn't in me, in my flesh. It was in God. And that began a journey 20 years ago of me really learning about the Holy Spirit and having my mind blown at what God can do. That simple opportunity of believing that God could do things, believing that God does do things, and believing that God will do things absolutely changed my faith life. And I started to see God move in insane ways that I had never seen before. As we jump into Luke chapter 4, we come to a situation where Jesus has been baptized by John the Baptist. And we come into a really interesting time in Jesus' life, a seminal moment, a crucible in his life, where he really has to choose what he's going to do and what his life is going to be about. And Jesus walks into Luke chapter 4, and we start out in verse 1. And I want to be very clear about what we're talking about today when we look at Luke chapter 1. It says this, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit." Let's stop there. "And Godhead, full of Godhead." That is a crazy theological statement. What it's saying is that Jesus in who he was not enough. Let me frustrate all my theological friends like you cannot believe. I have been in seminary classes where people said, "Jesus is enough. He is the fulfillment of everything. He didn't need anything else." Apparently, he needed the Holy Spirit. Apparently, after he was baptized by John and he came up out of the water, God the Father saying, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, descended like a dove and came on to Jesus. This is important. This is showing us as humans what we have opportunity to connect to and how we can be a part of the power of God and what he's doing. Don't miss Luke 4, verse 1, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit." It doesn't say, "And Jesus, full of himself." It doesn't say, "And Jesus, without anybody else's help." It doesn't say, "And Jesus, completely independent, in his own, without community, set out." That's not what it is. Jesus enters into Luke chapter 4 in community. "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit." Jesus Christ, Son of God, name above all names, King of kings, Lord of lords, conqueror of death, is led by the Holy Spirit. You should see humility. You should see humbleness. You should see tenderness. You should see need in Jesus. That Jesus, led by the Holy Spirit, Jesus directed by the Holy Spirit. We learn in other places in Scripture, Jesus says, "I say nothing but what the Father has told me to say." Jesus, in humility to the Father, Jesus, in humility to the Spirit, is led. You and I need to do nothing but what the Father tells us to do. You and I need to be led by the Spirit, just like Jesus. Many of you guys have heard me teach this before. If there was ever anybody who didn't need the Holy Spirit, it was Jesus. If there was ever anybody who didn't need God the Father, it was Jesus. If there was ever anybody who didn't need the Scripture, it was Jesus. Yet in Luke chapter 4, he uses all of them. It says, "And Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days." And then Luke just writes this beautiful sentence, which makes total sense. "And when it was ended, he was hungry." 40 days of food. Really, Luke? I think Luke is just being funny. I think there's a part of Luke is just like, "And he was hungry." 40 days, no food. I think day 3, he was hungry. I think day 2, he was hungry. He was hungry day 1. What I want you to understand is this. Is that Satan comes after you when you're at your weakest. Satan comes after you at your weakest. The other thing that I want you to know that happens to you is your bad habits, your hang-ups, your hurts, your things that you do to yourself come back and haunt you when you're the most tired. When you're exhausted, when you haven't had the sleep, when you've been pushed in stress past your limit, This is the time when you make major mistakes. And what I want you to understand is, this is the time when you need the Holy Spirit. So let me set this out for you. Are you tired? Are you frustrated? Are you exhausted? Are you scared? Are you stressed? Do you feel oppressed? Harassed? Do you feel held back? Do you feel like you don't have the answers? Do you feel overwhelmed? If any of those things are true in your life, you need the Holy Spirit. We've got to be careful. Sometimes we go to God and we ask for the wrong things to fix the thing that we need. Don't get me wrong. Scripture is important. Scripture is the foundation of what we do. It teaches us the boundaries of right and wrong. It tells us where we need to be, and it gives us our boundaries and structures so that we know that we don't go out of bounds and we don't get in trouble. But some of us, when you're exhausted and you're tired and you're reading more scripture, it's just not energizing you. Some of you guys, you're singing more songs than you've ever sung. You're praying more than you've ever prayed, and you just feel exhausted after you're done. Christian, this is the time when you need to pray one of the most ancient prayers that has ever been prayed inside of the church. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come, fill me. But pause for a second. You can't say, Holy Spirit, come, and I'll control you. Holy Spirit, you come in the way I want you to come. Holy Spirit, I'll be God, you be subservient. Holy Spirit's not going to come. When you're at a point when you are broken enough, you're tired enough that you don't mind. I remember my kids when they needed to go take a nap. They didn't ever want to take a nap, especially my social butterfly child. She would wail that she was missing out on all these social opportunities, and she would fight. And what happened was we just had to wait to the point that she was so exhausted that finally she would give up and she would sleep. But that wouldn't be until massive amounts of wailing. Sadly, she taught our youngest son the same process. And our youngest son would sit at the door and he would bang at the door that we were oppressing him. We had placed him in a room with all these toys, all this love, all these VHS tapes. He had air conditioning, he had a fan, he had a bunk bed, he had all the Legos, but no! And he would wail at the door, and he would get to the point that he was so tired, his face would hit the door, his lip would hit the door, and he would slide down the door into sleep. And we would find him on the ground, right at the door, with his face at the crack. Aren't we that way with God? That we fight him and fight him and fight him and fight him and fight him when we could move to maturity and we could go get in our bed and take a nap. We could be in a place where we could allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Now, I want you to understand this. When you need the Holy Spirit, you're the most tired you've ever been. When you need the Holy Spirit the most, you can't think really well. When you need the Holy Spirit the most, you're so stressed, it's insane. When you need the Holy Spirit, your friend, your pastor, your worship leader, your next door neighbor will say, hey, you need the Holy Spirit, and you will want to reject it with everything that you've got. When you feel that, make a mental note. Oh, I really need the Holy Spirit. If I'm rejecting it, I really need it. Jesus needed it. You and I need it. Point number one, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus said, do everything that I've taught you to do, do it the way that I've done it, act like me, walk like me, speak like me, serve like me, that means that you and I need to be full of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me help you out. Christian, you are. Anybody who says that Jesus Christ is their Savior and is their Lord is full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside of you. Let me help you out. When I was a little kid, we got taught that Jesus comes to live in your heart. That's not in Scripture. Scripture teaches you that the Holy Spirit comes in and inhabits your soul. That's in Scripture. So we have this situation where when you come to Christ and you say, Christ, I want you to be my king. I want to follow you. I am a sinner, and I have absolutely walked away from you. The Holy Spirit enters into your life, and you are filled with the Spirit. But there's a problem. You can quench the Spirit. You can ignore the Spirit, and you can disregard everything that the Spirit is trying to teach you. And that's what normal Christians do. So what we're trying to do in Real Church is teach us how do we listen to the Holy Spirit and be obedient to the Holy Spirit and be supernaturally natural Christians. How do we do that? I'll get to that in a moment. Point number two, when we read in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, Jesus was led by the Spirit. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. Do you guys understand how important that is? That Jesus wasn't just full of the Spirit. He actually allowed the Spirit of God to lead him, to direct him, and to teach him. Now, I'm going to be super honest with you. I'm going to be working on this the rest of my life. I'm not going to just listen to a sermon on Luke chapter 4 and have it. Boom, got it. Read a book. I get it. No, this is for the rest of my life as I journey until the King takes me home. I will be working on points 1 and 2 for the rest of my life. So my perfectionists, go back and listen to Chelsea's sermon from last week. As we bring it forward, you're not going to get this done perfectly. All I'm trying to do is equip you and put things in your bag, in your tool bag, and your knowledge base so that when you move forward, you know how to respond and how to act. Now, when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, I want you to understand some of the things that the Holy Spirit does. I'm going to go over 10 things that the Holy Spirit does. If you're thinking about it, you can look on Christianity.com. You can look up the Holy Spirit, 10 roles of the Holy Spirit in the Christian. You can Google this and you can look it up. You'll find it. Here are 10 things that we learn about the Holy Spirit. In John 14, 26, we learn the Holy Spirit is a helper who teaches us and reminds us, which means there's stuff we don't know and there's a bunch we're going to forget. We also learn the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin in John 16, 7 through 8. The Holy Spirit says, you are sinful, you're apart from God, you need Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit teaches. The Holy Spirit dwells in believers and fills them. We learn that in 1 Corinthians 3:16. The Holy Spirit is a source of revelation, wisdom, and power. We learn that in 1 Corinthians 2:10 through 11 and Acts 1:8. The Holy Spirit guides to all truth, including knowledge of what's to come. We learn that in John 16:13. The Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts to believers. We learn that in 1 Corinthians 12:7 through 11. The Holy Spirit is a seal on the lives of believers. We learn that in Ephesians 1:3. In other words, there is a mark on you as a Christian that you are God's. You are wearing a spiritual uniform that the spiritual realm can completely see on who's on God's team and who's on the beast team. It's totally easy for them to figure it out. You wonder as a Christian, why am I always being attacked? How come life is so difficult for me? Because you have a mark on you. It's the Holy Spirit, and there's an enemy that hates God, and you're on his team. So you're being attacked. All right? We'll keep going. The Holy Spirit helps in a Christian's weakness and intercedes for them. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Does anybody feel like they need to go read Romans 8, 26 and 27 right now? The Holy Spirit intercedes during times of your weakness. Is there ever a time in my life the Holy Spirit is not interceding? No, I'm always weak. The Holy Spirit is always interceding. Isn't that awesome? God is praying for you. Just let that go through your mind for a second. That's amazing. All right? The Holy Spirit makes believers new and gives them eternal life. Wow. Wow. The Holy Spirit makes believers new and gives them eternal life. That's Romans 8, 10 through 11. The Holy Spirit sanctifies and enables believers to bear good fruit in their lives. That's Galatians 5, 15 through 21, the fruits of the Spirit. If you're trying to work on the fruits of the Spirit that are godly, only the Holy Spirit can produce them. You can't produce them in your flesh. Now, let me help you guys out. Intellect is not bad. But if intellect is directed by flesh, you're going to get a bad answer. Intellect directed by God's Spirit, you're going to get a great answer. Heart directed by flesh is going to give you a bad answer. Heart directed by God's Spirit is going to give you a great answer. See, what we run into is we go, well, I hear that my heart and my mind. No, your heart and your mind in of yourself, you're not going to do well. your heart and your mind used by the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit of God, directed by the Spirit of God, is going to equal some amazing things. That's the direction we need to go. So Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. So why is life so difficult? Well, we look in Luke 4, Jesus runs into a conversation with Satan, and Satan comes at him, and I want you to read it in your own time, and I'm just going to kind of paraphrase what goes on between Satan and Jesus, and I want to bring it to today. Because sometimes you read it, and you're like, oh, well, that's really cool. I can't make rocks into bread, and I can't do this, and I can't do this, so I guess Satan doesn't tempt me that way. Oh, yes, he does tempt you this way. He just uses a different wrapping paper. Let's go through it. Here's three temptations that move us away from the Spirit of God. In other words, we're full of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God wants to work in you and me. And there are things that you and I do that keep us from being completely used by the Holy Spirit. So what are the three temptations that Satan has used for a long period of time? What are things that he's so aware of that works with humanity that he just keeps repackaging them and doing them again and again and again? Let's talk about them. So the first one, number one, self-seeking provision. Self-seeking provision. Satan tempts Jesus. You can turn these rocks into bread. You can feed yourself. You don't have to rely on God. You don't have to rely on the Holy Spirit. You don't have to rely on the angels who later on and come and minister to you. Jesus, you can do it on your own. You can be a self-starter and a self-producer. And let me help you guys out. Anytime you move to self, you are moving away from God. And Satan loves moving you towards self. He loves moving me towards self. It's one of the greatest moves that he can ever do is to move me to self, which makes me not selfless. I cannot love the Lord my God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I cannot love my neighbor as myself when I am selfish. And Satan knows it. And so Satan wants Jesus to believe that he should be satisfied, that Jesus shouldn't feel hungry, that Jesus should eat food at this point in time, that Jesus deserves food, and that Jesus can do it on his own. Just repackage that seething lie in the way that you've been hearing it this week. Haven't you been hearing in some little way, shape, or form that you should? You are owed. You can do it. My son and I, we have a joke. We laugh around about some of the worst pieces of advice that people have ever given. I remember when he was in eighth grade, I got invited to go to an eighth grade, people that work in the community that come in and they inspire kids to stay in school and keep at it. And my son came back and he's like, Dad, I just listened to the worst conversation I've ever heard. I was like, tell me about it. I can't wait to hear this. I was put it on the wall of shame. Tell me what it is. He said, Dad, the speaker got up and said, if somebody tells you no, keep going until someone tells you yes. What? Even my son, as an eighth grader, all the brilliant kids in the class looked at each other and visually gave the eye look of, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. They knew it was dumb. I listened to graduation speeches. Oh, graduation speeches. Some of the greatest pieces of information that will destroy your soul, and you will be working on them for the rest of your life. Basically, it gives me job security that we have people who give graduation speeches, because graduation speeches teach that you need a community to help pick you up when you destroy yourself with the information they just gave you. Tell yourself, I can. And when you can't, tell yourself, I can. And keep telling yourself, I can. That was one of the speeches I listened to. And I went, I can be in the NBA. They told me no. I'm going to keep going until they tell me yes. Come on. Never was fast enough. Never strong enough. Couldn't shoot well enough. No, not happening. Now, I'm not trying to destroy your dreams. I'm not trying to destroy your creativity, but I want you to understand that Satan whispers in your ear and he destroys your soul. Stop letting him destroy your soul. So when you hear Satan whisper to you that you should do something on your own, oh, be wise. Number two, self-seeking prominence. Self-seeking prominence. In other words, you should be important. People don't listen to you. They don't hear you. Your voice should be heard. How come they didn't ask you your opinion? How come you didn't get the promotion? How come you didn't? How come you're not lifted up? How come you're not in Pastor Nathan's mini church? I don't think there's a lot of people fighting for that. Even the people in the mini church here are thinking, I don't want to be here. But God told them they had to be here. So they're being selfless. Okay? So we can have some fun with that. But what I want you guys to understand is, don't we feel like that? Is my kid not important enough? Moms run into that problem. How come my kid's not the ball monitor? How come he can't ever be the ball monitor? Well, your kid can't carry balls. Like, your kid falls all over the place. That's probably not the task we want for your child. We can work on those things. But we feel like we're not important, and we want to be important. Satan says to Jesus, you can bow down and you can worship me, and I will make you the king over everybody here in the world. Do you realize how easy that would have been for Jesus to do? Considering Jesus' next part of his life and his mission was to be rejected by everybody pretty much that he talked to, that he was mocked by everybody. Ultimately, Jesus is spit on. He's beaten. He's crushed. Basically, even the government sends him away. Police brutality happens with the Romans and Jesus. Pay attention. Pontius Pilate just thought they'd rough him up a little bit. When they brought Jesus back, they had destroyed him. And he was just like, you guys are animals. That's not what I wanted you to do. Brutalized Jesus. And he had the opportunity with Satan to become important, really easy and really simple. Are you seeking prominence? Are you seeking being important? Do you feel like you need to make more money? You need to have a bigger house. You need to have more cars. You need to have a purse with a tiny dog in it. Do you feel like you need a Learjet? Do you feel like you need to go away to an island that you own, that only your family can be on, because then you feel super rich? Do you need your own train with its own car? What do you need for prominence that you feel so important and so special about? Is it the iPhone 11 Max Pro? I don't know what it is that makes you feel super important. Is it a makeup cosmetics line? I don't know. But we have to understand, Satan whispers in our ear, you're not important because you don't have that. And if you had that, you'd be important. Oh, Christian, be careful when he's whispering at you. Oh, be careful when it's not even him whispering at you, that he's planted the seed in you, that you've played it so many times in your own mind that he doesn't have to show up anymore. You play the tape. He doesn't even have to mess with you anymore. It is your flesh that's destroying you. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in and destroys strongholds, destroys thought processes, destroys habits. And when we're talking about systematic racism in our nation, do you know who we need? The Holy Spirit to come in and change us. But our world will teach, no. If we just educate ourselves enough and we just allow the people who are in power, who are perpetuating the problem, to come up with the solution to the problem, will solve the problem. No. No. Big fat lie. Satan says, Jesus, worship me and everything's going to be great. If Jesus worships Satan, nothing's great. And he still wants you to worship him. And I promise you, Christian, it won't be great. Third temptation, self-seeking pride. You should show your power. You should show your strength. We do it all the time as males, as females, as moms, as dads, as husbands, as firstborns, as secondborns, as people who've been in an organization longer. We flex and show our strength. Some of us, we show our strength with our physical power. We bump into people and we show them that we're immovable and we're strong. Some of you guys, you're not super big in your build. You use your mouth. You use words that cut at people and incite violence in the minds of people, and you love messing with people by showing your power. Some of you guys, you're intellectually brilliant, and you use words so over our heads, it's insane, but you feel powerful because you can enunciate it correctly. Think of the ways we move to power. Think of the ways that we move to strength. That's not Jesus. Chelsea taught us weeks ago again, Jesus was born in a manger. He wasn't born in the Ritz-Carlton. Jesus started in servanthood. We learn later on where Jesus is teaching the disciples at the Last Supper. He says to them, you will not be like the leaders that are over you. You will be different. You will be humble. You will be tender-hearted. You will have the Holy Spirit. That's what our churches need. We need pastors and leaders filled with the Holy Spirit teaching people. We don't need any more intellectual human information. We don't need any more academia. We need the Spirit of God leading us, and we've got to follow. Self-seeking provision, you should be satisfied. Self-seeking prominence, you should be important. Self-seeking pride, you should show your power. Jesus, throw yourself off of this and the angels will catch you and you won't get hurt. Flex your power, Jesus. Show how amazing you are. Show your strength. And Jesus said no to all of them. But here's something I want you to be very, when you read Luke chapter 4, notice that Satan uses scripture to tempt Jesus. Christians still to this day use scripture to warp things. Christians use scripture to meet their own ends. And that's one of the things I had to learn years ago, is scripture tells me what's going on. I don't tell scripture what's going on. Too often, we get upset with scriptures because we don't like it and we want to change it. That puts us in the position of pride. And let me tell you something right now. The Holy Spirit is not functioning strong in you. When you read the scripture and you put yourself in the position of the sinner, you put yourself in the position of the enemy, you put yourself in the position of the one who's wrong and needs to repent and needs God Almighty, you're much closer to where you need to go. Christians need to stop misquoting scripture. They need to stop saying, where two or more are gathered, I am there in their midst. Okay? Jesus is walking in the desert by himself with just the Holy Spirit. Seems like he's okay. You don't need two Christians. That verse says that if two Christians leaders get together and they decide a punishment inside of the community of God, God aligns with those two leaders, puts his stamp of approval on it, and tells the rest of the church, don't mess with that decision. But that's not what we do as Christians. We want to vote. We want to be independent. We want to be prideful. We don't want to be led. We don't want to be in community. Look at where our churches are. Do we see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit because we're so independent? Do we see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit because we get a vote? No, Christian. Study revival. Revival happens, life change happens when people give up of their lives and radically follow the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Today my prayer is that you return in the power of the Spirit. My prayer is that you would be led by the Spirit and you would be changed by the Spirit. And today, in today's sermon, there's no condemnation. There's no attack against you and I. No. Jump back in the Holy Spirit. Jump back in the river. Get back where you're supposed to be. There's no making fun of anybody. There's no, well, you've been out for 7 years. No, I don't care. Get back to the Spirit. Return back to the Spirit. And the key is it doesn't say, and Jesus left the Spirit in the desert and went out to accomplish what he was supposed to do in his own power. That's not there. When you wake up in the morning, Holy Spirit, come. When you walk outside of your house, Holy Spirit, lead me. When you're driving your car, Holy Spirit, be with me. When you're in a conversation where you don't know what to say, Holy Spirit, fill me, speak for me. When you're in a situation where you're frustrated and you're angry, Holy Spirit, please bring your peace. Do you see that we can invite the Spirit of God into our lives constantly? We can and we should. And when we don't? It says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding county and country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. One of the verses that I really love and one of the translations I love of this scripture, it says, and Jesus left in the power of the Spirit. In other words, Jesus had a choice in that seminal moment. Would he allow the Spirit of God to absolutely empower him and lead him and cling to him and form in him and be used in him? The power of God in Jesus is why miracles happened. Was he going to let that happen? And Satan didn't want that connection to happen. Let me help you out. Satan doesn't want that connection in you either. He doesn't want you connected to the Spirit of God. He doesn't want you empowered by the Spirit of God, because you would actually change things in the Spirit of God. Your home would be better. Your life would be better. Your work would be better. Your city would be better. Your state would be better. Your nation would be better. Your world would be better. That's the solve. The solve is the Holy Spirit. Sure, study academia, get intellectual. That's totally fine. But intellect in flesh, meh. Intellect in spirit, how about we just go intellect of the Spirit? Let's not try to place our stuff in the Spirit. Let's be led by the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God be in control of your life. And since this is real church, I know none of us struggle with control, so this should be really easy. So I'm just going to move on. All right. Point number one, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Somebody pray, God, please fill me with your Spirit. Point number two, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. Somebody pray, Jesus, would you please lead me through the power of your Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, would you please lead me? God the Father, maybe I'm not hearing Jesus. Maybe I'm not hearing the Holy Spirit. God the Father, would you please reintroduce me to the Holy Spirit? God help. Point number three, Jesus functioned in the Holy Spirit. Jesus functioned in the Holy Spirit. When I was a kid, there was a cool thing on PBS, Conjunction Junction. What's your function? Oh, such a great song. What the concept taught me was, is that in order for a sentence to work, things had to be put together and stuff had to come together so that it could make sense with what's going on. Some of us, we're not allowing the Spirit of God to function in our lives, and our output is wrong. We've got to function in. I wanted to say with, but with seems like you're next to it. I wanted in, like in the pool. So I don't want you to think that swimming pool, if you're in a swimming pool and you're kind of lounging and there's part of your body that's out of the pool, yes, you're in the pool, but you're not completely in the pool. What I'm talking about with the Holy Spirit is I want you underwater. I want you in the Spirit. I want you surrounded by the Spirit. I want no part of you not touching the Spirit. That's where Jesus was. Jesus was deep. We got to take the plunge. Some of us, we put our toe in. It's a little bit cold. It needs to be warmer. Some of us put our toe in. It's too warm. It needs to be colder. No. It's not about what you want. It's about you trusting God. Take two steps back. Look at it, run, jump in the air, and do a sweet cannonball into the Holy Spirit and let him be in control of your life. Do it. Our world needs it, and you need it. Verse 18, Jesus later on walks into the synagogue after being led by the Holy Spirit. He's walking into the synagogue. It's his turn to read. He walks up. He opens the scroll. He turns to Isaiah, and he reads out of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Don't we need that today? I have been pulling my hair out as a spiritual man of God, listening to all the rhetoric and all the conversations and all the false solves for the wickedness that we have in our world. And I have been crying out and praying this verse over you and over me, that you and I would be ambassadors of reconciliation to God Almighty to do this. Now, let me read this again, that this is what the Holy Spirit is doing in you and in me for our families. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing in you and me for our neighborhoods. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing in you and me for our city, for our state, for our nation, for our world. Let's read it that way. Ready? It's going to be painful. Here we go. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. We learned that the Holy Spirit sealed you, that he's anointed you, he's marked you, you're his. What are we supposed to do? We are supposed to proclaim the good news to the poor. Now, careful, this has nothing to do with money. People who are poor in spirit are going to hell. I'll say it again. People who are poor in spirit, they don't have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of them. When it comes to the end of time, when it comes to judgment, I'm going to get to that in a second, but when it comes to judgment, they don't have anything. We need to proclaim the good news of salvation to those who don't know it. There's good news in all this ugliness of COVID. There's good news in all this ugliness of racial strife. There's good news. There's a king who's on a throne. He doesn't care about your race or your sex. He loves you. All you've got to do is trust him. Do you see all the selfishness problems, though? He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. Who are people who are captive? People who are in bondage to sin and death and eternal separation from God. Remember Pastor Mike sharing in a leadership meeting, we could do all these things. We could make all these wonderful things happen. But if we don't have Jesus, what does it matter? That's what Satan's doing. Satan's saying, no, change all these things. No Jesus. No Jesus. Change all these things. Brutal. He says, I want to give recovery of sight to the blind. Some of us, we used to see Jesus and we're missing it. Some of us used to see the Spirit, we're missing it. Some of us used to see the Father, we're missing it. Some of us used to see love and tenderness, we're missing it. Some of us, there's a part of me that really feels that when we were born, we knew God. And part of our wickedness of our humanity sealed us and blocked us from knowing God. There's a part of me that just believes that in our creation, that moment where a sperm and an egg came together, God is there blessing it, that he is the one breathing life into you and me. And I've become blind and I've forgotten him. There's some people who knew God and they've forgotten him. Just think about that for a little bit. God is the one who brings about life. There are people who are blind and they've forgotten him. To set liberty to those who are oppressed. Who is the ultimate oppressor? Satan. Who is your ultimate enemy? Satan. Who is the one that's trying to destroy your marriage, trying to destroy your family, trying to destroy your kids, trying to destroy your home, trying to destroy your workplace, trying to make sure you don't get jobs, trying to make sure you're not in a community and buying homes? Who's the one who's trying to make sure that you and I do not take ground for the King of God in Chicago? Who's the one who's standing against you? Know who you're fighting. Stop fighting each other. Stop biting each other. If someone came with a chainsaw and cut down a tree in the front of my house and the tree fell over, they dropped the chainsaw on the ground and I ran over and I started cussing at the chainsaw, that would be stupid. The chainsaw is you and me. Satan is the one who wields us at times, and you and I get used as tools. Be careful what words you say. The opposite. The Holy Spirit can come and pick you up and use you as a beautiful tool. You're either being used by one or you're being used by the other. He says, verse 19, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, this is special that Jesus closes the scroll and stops right here in Isaiah. If you go to Isaiah, there's another sentence right after this in the scroll. And the scroll says, to declare God's vengeance. Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus stops and goes, you have an opportunity to come clean. You have an opportunity to fix things now. But the deadline is coming. And once the deadline comes, the next part of the verse comes in and there's no changing. Jesus is talking about your soul and my soul. And he's doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Mind blowing. When I read through what Jesus says, don't we need this in our families? Don't you and I need it? I need it in my family. We oppress each other. We're mean to each other. We're not always loving. Don't you need it in your home? Don't you need captives to be set free in your home? Aren't you captive to thoughts, to pride, to selfishness? Don't you need to be set free? I need to be set free. The world would say, oh, well, self-help. You just do it in your own power. I read a chapter from a book a couple times ago when I was teaching that once you give yourself that power and once you move into that area, you've actually built that beast stronger. You've actually fed the problem and made it bigger. You haven't eliminated it. My prayer is that you and I are absolutely agents of God Almighty, filled with the Holy Spirit, walking around as ambassadors, reconciling each other to each other, reconciling our friends to each other, and ultimately, in unity, reconciling ourselves to God. That's the goal. Don't get distracted by the goal. Don't get set off on what your journey is. Don't get pushed away from the task. Notice through all of Luke, there's constant things coming at Jesus, trying to derail him and move him in different directions and get him to do something else. And Jesus stays focused on the task. Why could he stay focused on the task? He did nothing but what the Father told him, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So here's our application. Number one, be in Christ and have the Holy Spirit of God. Be in Christ and have the Holy Spirit of God. If you right now at this point in time are not a believer and you have chosen not to accept Christ as your personal Savior and Lord up until this point, what I'm trying to share with you is there is a problem and you can't be part of the solution unless you're on God's team. There's only one way to get on God's team, and that's to confess that your way is wicked, that you are sinful, that you are wrong, and that you need a Savior. That goes against our pride. People don't want to do that. I'm not the problem. You're the problem. Don't be bringing that at me. That's your truth. That's not my truth. Listen, we are all sinners. We are all wicked. We are all selfish, and we desperately need a Savior. I accepted Christ when I was about 8 years old. I'm now 47. I need Jesus more today than I did when I was 8. Number one, be in Christ and have the Holy Spirit of God. I pray some of you guys, you renew your heart. You jump back in again. You say, God, I want to be back in again. Number two, be led by the Holy Spirit. Number one, be in Christ and have the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit will dwell inside of you when you're a Christian. Number two, be led by the Holy Spirit. Start to recognize when your flesh tries to lead. Start to recognize when you go to pride, when you go to prominence, when you go to provision, you have all these things start to push you out. Notice those are opposite of what God wants you to do. Be wise. Number three, function in the Holy Spirit and minister in the Holy Spirit. Some of the worst ministry that I've ever done as a pastor is I have ministered in the flesh. I've had some great ideas, I've had some great information, and boy, I used my talent and my ability. What a waste to give to people. Absolutely no eternal value, and absolutely nothing that God glorified in the moment. Sadly, we have to be careful in our churches today that we've got people who come up that have tons of charisma. They have phenomenal speaking ability. They lead worship songs with great ability. They have phenomenal voices. They're very creative in the words that they use and how they speak things, and they're smooth. But are we building up humans, or are we building up the king? Satan is brilliant, isn't he? Just a little bit of a change. It becomes about you. It's not about the king. And even our tiny little church, I struggle with that. I struggle with making it about me. But what about me, God? God says, Nathan, I told you to come and die and follow me. I'm like, right, God, but is there another option? A cool song when I was a kid was in a hymn. It's not a very long song. It's a very short song. It says, Spirit of the Living God. This is how it goes. It says, Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. I remember as a kid just singing that song again and again and again and again and not knowing why some of the older people sang it with all their heart. As a young person, I was thinking, this is the suckiest song ever. There's not any good verses. There's not any good beats. There's nothing going on. It just repeats. And why is this person singing with everything that they have? Let me share with you. That's because wisdom was singing. That a precious man and woman of God, moving towards the twilight of their years, had the courage, had the audacity, and had the prayer to pray as they sang, Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, Ouch. Mold me. Fill me. No. Use me. Listen to those words. They are destroying self. So here's my prayer. I'm going to pray over our church. My prayer is, if you would, and you want this prayer, I'm going to pray this song over us as a church, that God would do this. Would you extend your hands out? That you would be open and willing for God to do this. And I get it. Listen. Some of you guys, nope. No. Not there. That's okay. But what I want you to recognize is the battle between your flesh and the Spirit of God. Don't claim that you're mature. Don't claim that you're a Christian. Don't claim that you're a follower of God when we're going like this to God. So we have to go, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me be open. Help me open my hands to you. I'm scared of you. I want to be in control, and the truth is I keep destroying my own life, so it's not good for me to be in control. I'm scared about what you're going to do because you never give me all the information. You want me to trust you each and every day and stay in relationship, and that's not what I want to do. So I need your help. So if you're willing in this, would you please extend your hands and allow me to pray this song over me first, and you can hear it along. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, on our church, on all those who would extend their hands and ask, Holy Spirit, fall fresh. Many of us are tired. Many of us are weak. We are spent. We are stressed. We feel harassed. We are oppressed. We have moved to pride. We have moved to finding our own provision. We have tried to find our own importance, God. Gosh, we've moved away from you. Would you please pour your Spirit out on us afresh? Lord, would you mold me and us? Lord, would you melt me and us? Lord, would you fill me and us with whatever you want to fill us with? Would you use me? Would you use us to proclaim the year of favor of our Lord, to give sight to the blind, to set captives free? God, to preach the good news to the poor, would you use us, mighty God? Spirit of the living God, who is Holy Spirit, who sits inside of the Trinity, who is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, would you please fall afresh on us, and may we dive in completely to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let me encourage you guys as I close out on this. You've always wanted to be in the most important story and the most important journey, and you've always wanted to be on an amazing adventure. God gives you and I that opportunity to be in an amazing adventure that we don't know the end story of how it's going to work in our little story, but we do know the end story. I want to encourage you to afresh yourself back into the story that your King loves you, he's got a plan for you, and he is directing you. May we stop fighting him, and may he receive the glory as he has worshipers who just love him. May God bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine upon you. And may the power of God come upon you because of your relationship with your God. God bless you guys. Have a great Sunday.